This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or party traffic? Please call K2BAR. Always a good answer to encounter on the net. Well, good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. This is pretty exciting. We're going to have our first TechNet of 2015. I think we're finishing up year 8 or year 9 of the TechNets. Nominally weekly, under the guidance and tutelage of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association in cooperation with the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club that provides us with this lovely 2-meter repeater. Just untangling a cable here, just bear with me. Ham Shack is in more of a state of disarray than normal because I'm running a rake through it while also trying to keep certain things running, so Shack is really a bloody mess. So bad that I haven't even been working in the Shack the last week or two, and not spending enough time on getting it organized, although that was the intent at the start of the holiday season. Ha ha ha. So anyway, tonight, before we get too far along and start with our roll call, etc., I do want to remind everybody that we're going to be talking about some of the things that we've done in 2014, things we aspire to do in 2015, and maybe a few things we don't want to repeat in 2015. So that's all good. So, with no further ado, this net is run weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. This repeater is open access. It uses a -600 input, and of course, it uses the PL of 141.3. It's PL of 141.3. So, this net's run a little differently than others in that it's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural phenomena that support our hobby, the things we've done with it, how we've served others, how we've expanded our technical knowledge, how we've shared that with others, etc. So pretty much you can talk about anything you want as long as you kind of find a way to weasel it back to that broad set of topics. The other thing is that we also look forward to people participating who have for sale, swap, or wanted items. You're welcome to list those as well. And then finally, we want you to sign up, or check in, I should say, for the net, whether or not you have an item to contribute, because by having you participate in the net, we can kind of gauge how we should address the audience. We can't do that if we don't know who's there. So it is somewhat important to get a read on who's out there listening. The other aspect of this net is that there's some support elements that are useful. Number one, Echolink. You can check in on Echolink as well. K2 Foxtrot Juliet L. K2 Foxtrot Juliet L for Lima. And the other thing is that the net is recorded usually a week or so after the net. It's available along with all past nets except for the first three are on amateurradio.tangovictor, amateurradio.tangovictor. We look forward to seeing you download nets from past. If you want to hear them, you want to rehear something, you can certainly do that. You'll see that there. And then finally, there's an email list, which is very handy, which also has a file space. It's a Yahoo group. You can go up and find resources that have been listed on Comtech group. Charlie, Oscar, Mike, Tango, Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Oscar, Uniform, Papa. Comtech group, all mushed together. If you can't find that Yahoo group for whatever reason, feel free to email me, w2tangotangotango, at awrl.net, whiskey2tangotango, tango at ERRL.net, and I'll be happy to add you to the list. Alrighty, so, with no further ado, we would like to welcome the Whiskey 2s for us tonight. Any Whiskey 2s wishing to check in, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, New York, and just listening this evening.
Okay, very good. I have Don, W2JEK, I believe, and I have Jim, WA2UMP. Who else?
Whiskey 2, Lima Charlie November, W2LCM. The name is Rick in Bloomingdale, just listening in tonight.
Welcome, Rick. W2LCM, any other Whiskey 2s?
Whiskey 2, Juliet, Charlie. Surprise, none of the above, or...
Okay, W2JC I have. Did I also get, and good evening, Jim, did I also get WU2S? Did I hear that?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township with a comment.
Gotcha, Randy. Thank you very much. Were there any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2 November Papa Radio. Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
Hello, Hector. Welcome aboard. Happy New Year again to you and everybody else. Any other Whiskey 2s?
Whiskey 2, Tango, Kilo, Echo. Frank in Montvale with just a comment.
Good evening, Frank. Very good. I got you with a comment. Any other Whiskey 2s? Okay, how about Alpha Stations? All right, how about Novembers?
You always leave us to last. N2OEO. No questions, no comments.
Actually, I have not left you for last. Good evening, Noel. And very good. Any other Novembers?
Yes, good evening. N2IZE, November 2, India Zebra Echo. Name here is John. And we'll say Happy New Year to everybody. No questions or comments at this time, but we'll be just kind of listening in. So... back to net control.
Okay, very good. Welcome, John. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, moving right down the list. Any Kilo 2s? That's not all kilos, just the Kilo 2s.
Kilo 2, Echo, India Romeo. None of the above. Good evening.
Good evening, Howie, K2EIR. Very good. Any other Kilo 2s? Alright, any other kilos?
Hello, Delta 2, Foxtrot, Tango, Alpha, in Oak Ridge, New Jersey. Name here is Alex with a question on inductance coils for loading antennas.
Oh, that's a good comment. Good, Alex. Got your question noted. Any other kilos?
KD2BOR, none of the above. Happy New Year.
Okie dokie, hi Rocky, KD2BOR, got you. Who else on the kilos?
Kilo Echo 2, Kilo Bravo, Frank from Teaneck, New Jersey. I'm just listening tonight.
Good evening, Frank. Yeah, you got the FT-60. Welcome aboard, KE2KB. I think it's the first time on the net. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos? Okay, before we go to Echolink, are there any other stations, any call sign?
None of the above, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Sorry, you want to try that again? We doubled.
AC2ZMI.
Marco, welcome aboard. Any other kilos?
None of the above there, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you and everybody else, Marco. Any other stations, any format? Okie dokie. Anybody on Echolink? That is a no. Is there anybody else? Okie doke. Well, there are 15 of us who checked in. That's pretty cool. Alrighty. Don, you're going to go first. W2JEK, K2BAR, your ball.
Okay, K2BAR on the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. Okay, our next VARA DE test session will be on Friday, January 16th. Friday, January 16th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. If you're coming, please bring your identification, such as a photocopy of your photo of your photo type ID, such as a driver's license or a passport or something like it, or if you have no photo ID, two forms of non-photo ID. You'll need $15 test fee. It's the same this year as last year, good news. And if you don't have a license yet, you'll need your social security number or an FRN number that you can obtain before you go to the exam, or if you have a license, the FRN number that's on your license when you fill out the 605 form. You may use a calculator, but it has to be a calculator with the memory is empty. Excuse me. Cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as a calculator. And one item, let me drop it. Their license has expired. They held a general advanced or they held a general or advanced class or an extra class license expired beyond the 2-year grace period. You can now be able to get the license credit by taking the current technician exam, which will be just a 35 question tech exam, and then they will get license credit for the general or continue to get a general or an extra class license out of this, or advanced class license being issued. One other thing I'm taking note on, that this is the year that the general class license question pool will change. Using the current question pool until the end of June 30th, after which time there will be a new question pool in effect. So make sure you're studying the right material. If you're studying the current material, please get to a test session before this becomes obsolete. Back to that, W2JK.
Very good, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don regarding licensing? Alrighty. That's exciting, I guess. My question, I actually do have a comment for you, Don. And as I wanted to thank you and the rest of the test team from coming out a week ago on Friday and testing our scouts, some scout leaders. We had one scout who passed, we had two adult leaders who passed, and we had some other people who came to take the test. Mostly to upgrade, and they generally did well, and that was a good thing. And I want to thank you for your efforts in that regard. And Boy Scout Troop 139, Adventure Crew 7373, really appreciate the extra effort that everybody made the day after Christmas to make that possible. W2JEK, K2BAR.
Okay, Gordon, very good on everything. Yeah, well, we're glad to be able to come out and help like that. Get some new hands in there. That one fellow came up all the way from down the Trenton area there. East Windsor, I think, is actually his hometown. I know that's on the Jersey Turnpike there, around exit 7 or thereabouts, I think, because I know the IBEW has a local A27 has a union headquarters right on the edge of the Turnpike there. We did last time I was down. Anyway, it was a good session. We wound up with 16 applicants, and that's already been processed, and it's in the mail of the ARRO. Back on that, W2JEK.
I believe the league is not working tomorrow. Is that correct?
Probably not, but whatever happens. I mean, if they got it, it's, you know, Monday, so they got it, I don't know if they would have gotten it today or not. It's going to take a while because of the holiday, the way your mail landed and all that. So they mailed it Monday. They might have gotten it Tuesday. I don't think they got it Tuesday. Wednesday was the New Year's Eve. So they might have gotten it that day. I don't think they would have processed it yet, though.
Correct. I don't think that they're going to process it before Monday. So hopefully it'll show up in the FCC database sometime Monday night. But that's still great. It's super. I appreciate it and all your efforts. Pretty darn wonderful. Anybody else have anything for Don? Okay, anything else from you, Don?
No, that's all, Gordon. Thank you. Back in that W2JEK.
Okie doke. Roger that. Thank you very much. Before we move on to the comments and the question that we have for the net, I do want to post a general question, which we'll go to after we take care of these topics that have already been posted. And the question is, did you get anything really cool for Christmas? Or did, because of Christmas, are you anticipating getting something? And what is that? And that might be an interesting subject of a dialogue. Do you have any new amateur equipment or tools or anything like that this year that might be interesting? And what did you do this past year? What are you expecting to do this year? So we probably will do that in roll call order. So be aware that question is coming. So it should be fun. In the meantime, Randy, it's your ball. What's your comment? W2SK2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. Well, more exciting news about mesh networking. The last 5 or 6 months has been a flurry of activity with broadband hamnet mesh activity and a lot of steady progress. And particularly in the last month, through the efforts of Daryl K5DLQ and Joe Ayers, can't remember his call sign at the moment, who's out in California, Daryl's in Texas, they've established some tunnel scripts that make it real easy to connect mesh nodes across the internet that would otherwise be difficult or impossible to connect across the RF link. Let me let this drop. And I've been helping with the testing fairly regularly here in the past, and Daryl's last version of the scripts are really, really working very well. I've established a tunnel connection between my collection of nodes here and Daryl's, and I can see mesh-connected nodes in, mine here in New Jersey, the only ones that, at the moment that I can see in the local area, but I can also see a bunch of them scattered through roughly the Waco, Texas area and other parts of Texas, and California, because there's tunnels established between California, Texas, and New Jersey now. I also set up tunneling between two of my Ubiquiti nodes on one side using AT&T as the internet service provider, on the other side using Verizon Fios, and no RF link between them, even though they're in close proximity, so I've got that all figured out, and just this evening we got an update from Daryl and Joe that this also, all the stuff's working with Linksys equipment as well, so we're making a lot of progress, and I'll be available to answer questions and be local support for people that want to get into this more. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Well, Daryl hasn't checked into my gateway yet, at least what I can tell, because I don't show the node up, but that's okay. I mean, I show my cluster of, I don't know, 10, I mean, do I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have 12 in my cluster here, but just burning tests. But by the way, there was one LS or, that I, box that I was questioning as to whether it was stable, and I noted that it had a pre-release candidate 1 package on it. I never upgraded it, and once I put that up to version 3 or to the release candidate 1, magic of magics, no more resets. So all my troubles were software related, every last one of them, Randy. So in the end, remember I had different theories about different ones. They all came clean out of the software.
Well, it's really good to hear, and again, it proves the point that I've been emphasizing the last few months, is that the latest version of the software is really stable, and Conrad and the development team really got a heck of a lot of bugs out of it. I mean, it's really some beautiful, stable, functioning software now.
Yeah, even my Ubiquities with RC1 code, I never upgraded them to version 3, are stable, and my GSs and GLs that have a mixture, all my GSs at this point are release 3, I think, but a couple of GSs that are still RC1, and they're as stable as a rock. In fact, because I was doing something else, I had to actually power cycle the whole lot of them a couple of days ago, and everything's been stable as a rock. I mean, they were at 30 days stable before I bopped them, and I did that basically to flush the tables, because I was doing something else that was changing addresses around. I got tired of looking at the same ID coming out of more than one box, but it's all good. I mean, it really is solid as a rock, so we're making good progress. The other thing I did was I have a box here that running secure Wi-Fi as an access point. You can take an older router, like Don, the one I got from you, for instance, which is not meshable, if you will, and it makes a fine access point as is, and I haven't upgraded it to Tomato or one of the other DDWRT variants, but the point is that if we want a secure access point, we can use these other boxes. The other thing is that in a couple of days, I'm going to be the proud owner of a Cisco 3845, which is going to be pretty nifty, and that's going to be my my shack mesh router, and I mean, you know, basically all supporting all things shack, and then I have a gigabit router for the household, which will be separate. So things are chugging along just fine in my world. I'm going to try to run the 802.11ac router mostly on 5 gigs and free up the 2.4 space for either visitors to the household who need regular access, or legacy devices that don't have 2.4, don't have 5.8 gig. But the rest will all be mesh-related activities at 2.4. Alrighty, so anybody else? Alrighty. Well, Randy, anything else from you?
Just that I'll be at the Fair Lawn Club tomorrow evening with some of my equipment to give a little very short hands-on show and tell for how to do some of the setup work for people that want to start setting up tunnel clients. And you know, I'll be available again, as I said, to help folks in the area as they want to get their tunnel, their excuse me, their your mesh nodes established and connect them to other places in the area here. Back to net control.
Tell you what, if you got the time and interest, you mentioned that loco. If you want to put a client in with my call sign on there, I could come and pick it up tomorrow, and therefore, basically, be able to look at that whole world from my mobile from there on out. That might be something that would be very entertaining to tell our boys in Texas about. So if you're so inclined, I could do that because my mobile doesn't have any mesh stuff on it right now, and I could just pop that on there and be done with it. I would just throw a Linksys underneath the dash to use as an access point to connect, not access point, but to get into the network. So if you're inclined, I got to drop Nancy at work at 9. I got to be back home by about 10:30. But if that's convenient, we'll do that. If not, we'll do another day. But just let me know.
Okay. Why don't you give me a call after the net, and we can discuss it a little further.
Yes, sir. That'd be very cool. All right. I'll have the first mobile mesh tunnel in this mess, and I think the guys will get a kick out of that. Therefore, anytime I roll up, people will be able to mesh into the tunnel. That's what I was thinking, that would be good. And my own personal needs, I'll just put a Linksys box under the seat, to tie it and stuff, so that way the whole thing can be outside and happy. I'll just figure out how to get power to it. I think I could do that too. I could power it with 12 volts, it's no big deal. I have God knows I have a way to insert power into it. With the 12 volts from a PoE inserter, insertion device with 12 volts, I can do that in a heartbeat. All right, I will call you after that. And alas, I can't make it to the meeting tomorrow night because we've got a family outing to the devil game. Hopefully they'll win. All righty, anybody else? Anything else from you, Randy?
Nothing more here.
Thank you very much, and thank you for basically taking the effort and really spinning this up some more. It's good stuff. Alrighty, next comment is W2TKE Frank. It's over to you. How are you? And Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year to everyone. I just had a quick comment. It may turn into something a little larger, but I was with my daughter on Monday the 29th at the Croton Dam Park in Croton-on-the-Hudson, and I was on top of the dam doing some, just some repeater shooting, seeing how far I can get with an HT. And I was approached by a security guard who was asking me a whole bunch of questions about, what I was doing, and, very suspicious, and I was thinking about, okay, here's someone that doesn't really know, a lot about, ham radio, because some of the things he was saying, I could clearly tell he didn't really have an idea. So I guess I just wanted to make that comment, and I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people on the net, and I guess it's kind of like a comment/question as to what are our options, in addition to just explaining the obvious that we are licensed technicians. Ham radio technicians, what are our options as far as proving that, we are legally allowed to operate at said location? Back to net.
That's a great question, and there are at least three good answers to that. One, always carry a laminated copy of your license. Number two, in your car, keep a laminated copy of the big, pretty license. Number three, there's some really nice brochures and or handouts that the league has, and I'd be happy to provide some to the guys next time we meet. That's a great question. And
you might even want to have a, you know, take them to Staples and have the 8.5 by 11s laminated, and just put them in your roll them up, put them in your glove box, or put them in your on your visor. And it's also useful in New Jersey and New York. I think New York has it too. Anyway, New Jersey, having a copy of the relevant piece of Title 39 Motor Vehicle Code that specifically exempts amateur radio operators from the handheld wireless device or handheld device rules. You might want to do that too. But, it's great to have something with bullet points that are nice and neat. Maybe a trifold fold. There's even a trifold handout or two or three that are really nice to use to hand to people. Because I've had that same problem with police officers. And I don't mean, you know, recently. I mean, going back 20 years ago where they didn't know what amateur radio was. So, feel free to push that point. But there's lots of printed materials. Does anybody else have anything that they do or would recommend?
A2EIR.
Howie.
If you're a member of RACES or AREC, those materials are helpful. I belong to RACES in Rockland, and we can get a photo ID card so that we can go into the EOC, and we carry that around. It also, when issued to me, came with one of those around-the-neck things, and in that case it says something like, you know, emergency office or whatever. So those things are helpful because they add a little bit more official intonation, let's put it that way, to your activities. K2EIR.
Yes, in New York it's called the Office of Emergency Services. So you have an OES ID for your county, that's, or municipality, that's great. In New Jersey it's OEM or RACES, as the case may be. But they're very good. Yeah, anybody else?
W2JC.
Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, at the risk of sounding paranoid, it might be a good idea when you go to reach, before you go to reach for the papers in your glove compartment, ask him if you can reach for the papers in your glove compartment so he doesn't think you're going for something else. Also, when people ask me about the call sign, like they see the license plate, I've been responding, it's my international radio call letters, and that seems to make more of an impression than saying it's ham radio.
Yeah, a variation on that that I use is my FCC, or Federal Communications Issued International Call Sign. But yes, good idea. Anybody else?
You do, JK.
Yeah, Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I have one of those Red Cross cards too, so that might help.
Red Cross card is very good too. One of the things that I do is I keep my driver's license, registration, insurance card in my wallet and always have it at the ready, you know, by the time the officer walks up to my window and asks for my IDs. But while they're doing that, I also put into my hand the amateur radio license. I typically have that because about half the time that becomes a subject of conversation that, among the clueless. Well, it's been about a year and a half since I've been pulled over, so and I guess that's a good thing. Anybody else? Well, Frank, thanks for bringing it up. Anything more from you?
No, thank you all for the feedback. In this specific scenario, I was not in my car. I was actually on top of the dam, on the high portion of it, on the length that goes across it. So I guess, who knows? You know, I may have looked suspicious there, you know, holding a radio, making transmissions, whatever. So I was approached as to, you know, what I was doing and what the, you know, what was going on. So I explained it. But thank you all for the feedback. W2TK, back to net.
Can you imagine if you're one of those QRP or even 100-watt SSB hikers who brings along a drag line, and you're walking across the dam with a big-ass HF whip sticking on your backpack, yeah, that'll get some attention. The truth is that they're specifically trained to spot people with taking pictures or using radio equipment from those locations. So they're going to challenge you no matter what, and they're just doing their job. But just out of curiosity, what was the disposition of the matter? Was he satisfied and went away?
Yeah, once I explained everything, he was fine with it and went away. But at first, he was insisting that it was useless to me to even try using my radio because it was a dead zone.
Yeah, at least he thought it was a cell phone or some other thing. Yeah, he had no clue. Very good. Well, that was very entertaining. One of my former scouts is a ranger in the New York State park system, and he's actually offered to, it's not his park, but he would offer to take our troop on a guided hike of that reservoir and the area around there, and that would have been very entertaining had we had him along. Now, he's not a ham, but a lot of guys are, so that would have been very entertaining. All right, anything else for Frank? Okay, Frank, thank you very much, and again, Happy New Year. That was a good question. Alex, we're going to go to you, KD2FTA, and after you, we're going to go to the big whopper question of the day, which is, what are we doing next year? What do we get for Christmas? And et cetera, et cetera. So you're putting everybody on their toes. KD2FTA, K2BAR.
Hey, Gordon. Happy New Year to everybody in the group this evening. Always a pleasure talking on this net. This is KD2FTA. So, I've been doing my research on multiband antennas. Santa was generous to me this year, and so I picked up a Yaesu HF rig and a 450D. And as most folks may know, it's an entry-level HF rig, but operates from 160 through 6 meters. I have a small lot, not big enough to put a 160-meter antenna up there unless I go vertical. So I've been looking at trapped, I shouldn't say trapped, but I've been looking at inverted V designs for dipoles. I've been looking at OCF inverted V designs for dipoles that I can possibly use 40 meters down to 10 with, even potentially 6. But what caught my attention were a couple of designs that were either 80-40 combinations or 80-40-20 combinations. One in particular had coils, inductors used on either side of the dipole, without a ballon in the center because it was an inverted V, so the ohms go down at the feed point. And the question really becomes, hey, does anybody know of a good piece of literature or somewhere where I can get information on designing a coil that I can do a multi-band dipole with, that kind of gives me the formulas or the methodology for deciding how big of a diameter the coil should be wound around and how many turns for a particular loading to get the inductance I would need to permit the antenna to resonate correctly. KD2FTA, back over to net control.
I had a funny feeling you were going to ask that question. I didn't have a chance in the previous section to kind of give that a quick look up. That's a great question. Anybody have a short answer for an online calculator or something like that for figuring out loading coils for dipoles?
WA2UMP.
This net is always amazing. James, go right ahead.
Okay, that's an interesting subject. My favorite antenna is a 40-80-meter dipole that has loading coils in the end. Several versions of it are commercially available, MFJ, one of them, but you can easily, there are several online calculators where you can just plunk in the numbers and away you go. And if you just Google it, you'll find out what they are. You can make the inductors out of PCV pipe. Typical value might be, you know, 20 microhenries, 40 microhenries for a 40 or a 40/80 meter dipole. The other comment is don't underestimate the ability to transmit on 160. If you take the 40/80 meter dipole, short the ends together, and use it as a T with a good transmatch, that works great on 160. So that's my short answer.
Yeah, I just went online and, you know, with on a Google search, dipole loading coil calculator, and I got both some fixed articles, and I also got some, well, I got a quarter wave inductance calculator for quarter wave. Well, that's half of the battle, right? And it comes complete with the calculation in case you want to, you know, enter it elsewhere. But there's you know, plenty of good answers here. I found one M0 UKD, K7, K7 Echo Mic, K7 Mic Echo Mic. Those are two that I saw had a lot of promise. So, M0 UKD, that looks very good, and K7 Mic Echo Mic has an article on this, on the matter, and there's some others, some articles just a dipole antenna or dipole loading coil calculator is what I Googled and came up with all sorts of great resources that would certainly answer your question. I think Jim's suggestion's a good one. Anybody else have any thoughts?
K2EIR.
About some of these trap dipoles, like an 8040 trap dipole that Jim described. It's about a 66-foot span of flat top. They have the loading coils, and then they have about 5 or 6 feet of wire after that loading coil for resonating it on 80 meters. The only problem with that is it's a very narrow band on 80 meters. If you want to work in a particular section of the phone band, the CW band or something, that might be all right. But if you want to go all up and down the band, it's a problem. There are designs for antennas for 80-meter antennas that will, you know, cover the whole band, which is you need 130-some feet to span, which I don't think you have. There are trap dipoles out that the W3EDZ antenna, which is the 80-meter dipole that was loaded, had a floating coil of 40 meters, I think, and then they had other loading coils. At any rate, you could use that antenna on 10, 15, 20, 40, and 80 meters, or the shorter one on 10, 15, 20, and 40 meters. But you don't get the WARC bands. There is a way of doing it around that, as you're feeding an antenna, either a dipole or an off-center fed dipole with open wire, and have a tuner in the shack, and use the open wire feed. You could be able to load a dipole up with a tuner that way on just about every band. That might be an answer to your problem too. Just a second. One thing I have here, people I hear say I don't have room for 160 meters. I have an infed wire that starts out of my cellar window. It's up about 18 feet or so to the rain gutter, out across the yard 60 more feet. Then it takes a turn and bends over for another 30 feet, so it's got 110 feet of wire. And I've been I'm into the QRP thing, and with that I've worked as far as... I've worked in Jamaica, I think, and I've worked generally in the contest. I can generally get to North Florida and up into the VE 123 Canadian provinces. and sometimes down to Kentucky or Tennessee. This with the 5 watts. So if you ran more power, you'd even get better results. But just a random wire or some kind of wire out on the 160 meters, so you'll get wonderful, wonderful things with it. Back to that W2JK.
That's a great suggestion. Very good, Don. How about
Here's K2EIR. I just want to suggest that besides PVC pipe, I like to collect bottles on occasion, plastic bottles. Most of us with our normal grocery shopping acquire many plastic bottles in all kinds of sizes and shapes, and when you're through using them for food, you can repurpose them as coil winding forms, either to leave up that way or just to wind the coils. I love peanut butter jars. I get the plastic Skippy jars. They're about 3 or 4 inches in diameter, and I think that's a wonderful diameter for 40 meters and lower frequencies to wind coils. So I just wanted to pass that along. K2VIR.
Yeah, great idea. Great idea. The other thing you may want to do is to look at EasyNeck. There's a free version of EasyNeck that it's segment limited, but you can download a free version of EasyNEC. And so, if you want to model your antenna, you can pretty much model it. Simple wire antennas without too much trouble and doesn't cost you anything. That way you can see where the RF is going to go when you roll it. You know, take a height above ground, the length of the wire, the orientation of the segments above ground, all that nonsense. You can figure all that out. You're limited. I forget how many segments. I want to say it's 8, but it's the free version is not so bad. And allows you to model the radiation pattern of whatever it is you decide to build.
Hey, Gordon. A lot of good stuff there. First, let me thank WA2UMB, W2JDK, and K2EIR. Gentlemen, thank you all for your suggestions and insights. I enjoyed listening to that. That was good. While you guys were talking, I did look some of these sites up. K7MEM has a few calculators, not just one. You just got to surf through his website a little bit. Now, Gordon, just repeat again. Did you say EasyNet as in Echo Zebra November Echo Tango?
No, NEC. Echo Zulu November Echo Charlie. EasyNet. And you can thank Jim WA2UMP, Papa, and Don W2Juliet Echo Kilo. You got Howie's call right, K2EIR. But, yeah. But I figure I'd straighten out those calls while you're at it, too. The other thing I noticed was M0UKD had some neat stuff on his site as well.
The Mike Zero Uniform. I didn't get the rest of that, sorry. Repeat that, please.
Kilo Delta.
Kilo Delta. Say the whole call sign again, Gordon, please.
Mike Zero, Uniform, Kilo, Delta.
Okay, very good, very good. Mike Zero, Uniform, Kilo, Delta. I'll certainly take a look at it. Thank you all for your suggestions. And, hey, you know, I might end up doing an 80 through 10 loaded coil design. Who knows? Whatever works, you know. I like the idea of a simple wire as well with the proper guards to keep the RF from coming back into the shack. KD2FTA, back over to net control. Thanks.
Yeah, current balance or choke balance are your friends. Line isolators are the other thing that's useful. Sometimes I've used one after the other, as well as one in the, entering the shack, so as to make sure the RF gets nowhere on that coax. Anyway. Very good. Anybody else have anything for Alex that might be useful?
K2EIR.
Howie.
Yeah, I want to put in my useful plug for linear loading. There is some illustration of a, a slanted 45-degree linear loaded antenna in the handbook. You can also go to my QRZ page and see a 40-meter only example. Find the citation there, and it's an article in the tech whatever section of the ARRL website. Again, this is a linear loaded antenna, but instead of coils using wire that doubles over on itself, may be less lossy, but that's a lot of experimentation. And besides, modeling programs, there's nothing like having a nice antenna analyzer, because then you can do all kinds of experiments and see what plays well without having to worry about getting a lot of RF into it. So those are my further thoughts. K2EIR.
Very good. Very, very good. Wise decision. Anything else, anybody? Hey, Alex, any more from you?
W checking in late.
Mr. Chris, KD2CWW, what's your pleasure?
Just sitting here and listening. Always learning.
Very good. Welcome aboard. And thank you for joining. And by the way, congratulations again on your upgrade last Friday night at the session that we hosted and that Don ran. It was awesome. Alrighty. Yeah, Chris is now a general.
Woohoo!
Chris, you haven't seen your upgrade online yet, have you?
No, I haven't, and probably won't see it till next week because of the holiday in between. So, but I will say I have been just taking notes over here for about 20 minutes, and I wrote a lot of stuff down, so thank you.
Very good. Any other check-ins for the net tonight?
A Kilo 2 Zulu Charlie, Dave, no questions or comments.
Mr. Dave, welcome aboard. Happy New Year. Anybody else?
KM4, GHN.
KM4, Golf Hotel November. Your name, and tell us about yourself, and what does Santa bring you this Christmas? Or what do you want to do in amateur radio this coming year? Or what are you proud of that you did last year?
Just been laying back and listening. I'm new to the amateur world. Quick background, professional broadcasting, AM, FM engineer, as well as programming side for many, many years, CBS, ABC, others. I know a lot about the RF, although you guys really fine-tune it, and this is fascinating. I'm just going to be listening for the next few months. Bubs, I'm on an HT right now. I got a Yaesu HT on order, and I'm looking at a Kenwood or a ICOM 50-watt mobile, and that's about where I am right now. Pretty much a newbie. Over.
Okay, your name is Mitch?
Correct. That's Mitch, M-I-T-C-H. Nicole's again, KM4-GHN. I've had my license about a month.
Well, welcome to Ham Radio. So you got to explain, you've been licensed a month, but you're going to be around here. But your license location is Boone's Mill, Virginia. Tell us about yourself a bit.
Well, I was going to listen to this net for and the repeater for a while, just to get a feel for who's on here. But I'm in professional broadcasting, as I said, for many years. I now work for satellite radio, and I work out of Washington, D.C. in New York here. I have a small home here in Westchester County, which I'm at now, and I stay in D.C. for a while, and my residence is Boone's Mill, Virginia, a small town in the Blue Ridge Mountains out of Roanoke, which has an awesome repeater on Poor Mountain at about, 3,500 feet above sea level. Over.
Yeah, I actually know where that is, amazingly enough, so good for you. So, Well, I can figure out the New York and D.C. connection, who you work for. Not that there's a lot of choice in satellite radio these days, but very nice. Very, very nice. That's pretty cool stuff. And welcome to do that. The Fairlawn Radio Club meets tomorrow night and almost every Friday night at the Fairlawn Community Center. Guys gather sometime around 6 o'clock. And just when you go there, just ask for the radio club, and they'll point you where that is in the building. And after that, the guys will tell you how you really get in. But welcome to do that, and please come by. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association meeting will be, I believe it's this Sunday. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's a Sunday. And that's just a general business meeting. The Fairlawn Club has a nice operating shack, by the way, and a lab, and really good group of guys. Many of us are also members of that. But the Bergen Amateur Association has a business meeting with usually a speaker of some sort on the first Sunday of the month. And it is at the Washington Township, or Township of Washington, I should say, here in Bergen County, municipal building in the senior citizens room. So you are welcome to come. That's at 7:30 is the meeting, but people gather at just about 7, maybe a little before, but 7 is a good time to come. And so you're welcome to come for that as well. Tomorrow, a bunch of guys get together on the at the Paramus Park Mall at the upstairs. You'll see a long row of tables that get put together by hams, and there's coffee on Tuesdays and Fridays, and tomorrow's that day, about 8:30 in the morning. So that's another thing to think about as well. So hopefully that helps you out, Mr. Mitch.
Yeah, I really appreciate the info, and I'll kind of shut it down now because I'm really just meant to monitor. I'm too new at this to chime in with you guys at this point, but I'm overwhelmed at the graciousness and welcome, feeling that ham operators have here is great. And it's fun to play around. I'm looking forward to getting into the hobby. Unfortunately, I do have a full-time job, so I got to spend a little family time next few days. But I will be socializing in the next few months. I got my ticket up in Armonk, New York. You probably know a gentleman up there that's got a pretty big setup. And I'm probably going to join a few clubs. But I'm going to shut it down now, let you guys wrap it up. I just wanted to chime in, let you know I've been listening the last, several months or weeks. And thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Question?
P2, ZUM.
All right, ZUM, we'll get you in a minute. Who was the question?
W2JC. I just wondered, is the 4 area all the way up to KM's already, or is that a special call, Mark?
But they're really up to M's.
Wow.
And I think the 6's aren't far behind.
JK.
Don, go ahead.
Mitch, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association has a website, www.bara.org. That's Bravo Alpha Romeo Alpha.org. Gives the location of our municipal building, also the location of the, that's where we hold our ham fest and our, we have kit nights on Tuesday nights. As we have that up. Back to that. Thank you, W2JK.
Sure, absolutely. Good question, good point. Real quick, there's one more question for you, and then we'll spin it around the rest of the guys have been trying to check in and asking questions. Bootsville, how far is that from Fairfield?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Are you asking Mitch, Cam, 4GHN?
Yeah, how far is it from Fairfield?
Sorry, I didn't copy the other part. How far is what from Fairfield? Over.
Boone's Mill.
Well, I'm going to have to probably look that up, as you would. I really don't know. Boone's Mill is just on the fringe of Roanoke, Virginia, which is about the biggest city in that vicinity. Over.
I know. I see that. You're east of Blacksburg by about 20 miles or so.